I'm co-presenting today with Megan Cook, my colleague. The results we're sharing with you today, she is largely responsible for, so with due credit, I want her to be the one that shares them with you. Like Gordon shared with us all before lunchtime, children on the autism spectrum present with many challenging behaviors, and delays and deficits in communication and in social reciprocity are among the key ones. There has been research that suggests that a child's expressive language level by 5 years of age is a central predictor of their long-term developmental outcomes. And I've read an article more recently that puts that number closer to 24 to 30 months of age. Ongoing measurement of a child's communication skills is critical for many, many reasons, one of which is for us as educators to be able to design effective interventions for our children. To date, the majority of the LEANER research that has been used with children with autism has either focused on the home audio environment, they have had a more limited number of recordings or have not followed children longitudinally over time, and have not had a built-in comparison group of children that are typically developing in their communication skills. So the purpose of our present study is to track changes in the communication skills of children on the autism spectrum in both preschool and home settings over time. We are also comparing the communication of our children with autism to that of the typical peers that are placed in the preschool program with them. To evaluate intervention efficacy is what our program set out to do, really doing what we're supposed to do. And I think that that's a new area within LEANER that we can use this measurement for. And lastly, to compare the different language learning opportunities for our kids across settings and across different types of classroom activities. Several people in this morning were talking about more child-directed versus teacher-directed activities, so we were also going to be exploring that. We're here today from Family Child Learning Center's Integrated Preschool Program for Children with Autism, which is a program of Akron Children's Hospital in Ohio. This study uses two cohorts of children, each with about 5 children with autism and 4 typical peers, so about 20 children for this study followed for a 1-year period of time. Our kids with autism attend preschool 4 half days a week, and they are joined by typical peers either 2 or 3 of those days. So it's also giving us an opportunity where we can sometimes look in the classroom on days that just children with autism attend, but we also are able to look at the language environment in the setting when they are joined by their typical peers. The parents of the children with autism, in addition to attending the 4 days in the classroom, they also receive bi-weekly to monthly home visits by one of our project staff that focuses and supports parents in their use of being more responsive partners in the home environment with their children. Okay, so with regard to the LEANER recordings, we get bi-weekly recordings from each child in the home, on those autism-only or more segregated days, and on peer integrated days. So roughly 6 recordings per child per month. And as I said, we're following in this present study, these results reflect the children being in the program for 1 year of time. However, one of our graduate assistants told us that we are now sitting on about 1,100 recordings across our children. So this is exploratory, what we're presenting today, and we're excited to delve into more of those recordings. But you can see from this chart here the breakdown of our children with autism and the typical peers in the classroom, the number of hours of LEANER recordings from the home and in the classroom that we took a look at.
So for our analysis, we condensed all our recordings into 4 2-month blocks throughout the school year. And here you can see the hourly rate of child vocalizations across the school year for both of our preschool classes. The children with ASD are in blue, and the typically developing children are in red. And you can see that for both cohorts, all children showed increases in the rate of child vocalizations over time. This change was only significant for the second year class. These are similar graphs for the rate of conversational turns over time. And you can see that again, for both cohorts, the children with ASD showed increases over time, although these were slight and not significant. But more interesting, you can see that there are no significant differences by diagnosis, so no significant differences between the children with ASD and their typically developing peers. This may be because some features of autism spectrum disorders, like echolalia and self-stimulatory vocalizations, can inflate these counts so that they don't quite accurately reflect children's absolute language ability. So we found that Lena is much better suited to following within child progress than comparing children's absolute levels of language ability. And this is further shown in these graphs. These show the distribution of child vocalization and conversational turns within each of our groups. And you can see that for the children with ASD, the means are slightly lower than the typically developing groups for all the cohorts. But you can also see that while the typically developing children are pretty similar, there's a wide variation in the Lena measures for the children with ASD. So next we compared the average rates of child vocalizations, conversational turns, and adult words across three different settings: the home, days when peers were present, and days when only children with ASD were present. And we found that these ASD-only days had the highest rates of adult word count and conversational turns, which makes sense since these are the days when the children are getting the most one-on-one attention. Interestingly, we also found that children vocalize most in the home, but follow-up analyses revealed that most of their speech is monologues because there are fewer potential conversational partners. And we also found that conversational turns and adult word count were lowest in the home. We wanted to look even further to see whether certain types of activities encourage more vocalizations in our children. So we listened to recordings for both the peers and the children with ASD in our first year classroom and segmented these recordings into different activities, then categorized these activities by who led the interactions, children or adults. So we categorized these into child-directed activities, such as free play, mixed child and adult-directed activities like art and snack time, and purely adult-directed activities like circle time. And we found that children vocalized most in child-directed activities, followed by mixed activities and adult-directed activities. We also found that the children showed the largest improvements in vocalization over the course of the year in child-directed activities, and this improvement over time was significant. So our preschool follows a social pragmatic model, so this was validating that following your child's lead is in fact an effective approach. We found these same general trends for our typically developing peers as well. Also, when we looked at child vocalization count and adult word count at 5-minute intervals throughout the entire school day, we found that child vocalizations and adult words were significantly negatively correlated for both peers and children with ASD. So when adults step back, the children have more opportunities to speak. So in conclusion, our results suggest that over the course of the school year, children with ASD and their typical peers show increased rates of child vocalization and conversational turns in the classroom, and that all preschoolers, regardless of their diagnosis, receive similar rates of adult words in the classroom. So teachers are giving about equal attention to both groups. We also found higher rates of adult word counts and conversational turns in the classroom setting compared to the home, but the children with ASD have higher rates of vocalization at home than the classroom because they're mostly monologues. We also found that both children with ASD and their typical peers vocalize most during child-directed activities. So in the future, we would like to continue to expand our bank of recordings with subsequent preschool classes. We'd also like to do some further ADEX analysis, including who initiates conversations and who the children are speaking with, whether they're monologues or speaking with adults or other children. We have found that on our integrated peer days, our children with ASD speak more to other children. And we'd also like to move from this sort of descriptive research to developing some interventions to increase language input for parents and teachers, and also using this Lena feedback.
And we got a lot of great ideas this morning about those of you who are using that, so thank you for those extra tips. I'd also like to recognize our speech therapist, Mike Esposito, who is not on the stand today, but is a key driving force to our research efforts within the Lena Project.
Thank you.
You want to take questions?
Sure.
Could you guess what these results would be in terms of patterns at home and patterns in the classroom on the basis of your dispersal observations? or so we would really provide the only quantitative.
We were surprised by the difference between the vocalizations at home and at school, but we did expect the differences between the ASD only days and the peer days just based on the amount of one-on-one attention.
Yeah, ratio itself. We're fortunate that we have probably on average about 5 adults in the classroom with our children. And there's five children with autism, 5 typical peers. So on ASD only days, there's much more opportunity for the one-on-one.
Thank you.